Thank you, praise team, for allowing me to sing with you guys. She said I was scheduled. Alrighty, I got scheduled. Woo! There's a place for all of us to be scheduled. Amen. This is what we've been talking about is we've been sharing about the disciplines of the faith, and we've talked about the study of God's Word, prayer, fasting, confession, worship. We've talked about the last time I was in this pulpit, we talked about rest and the importance of rest. And you know what's crazy is how many people I heard after that say that was such a meaningful message that they had not consider that in a long time, and too often we don't talk about the need for spiritual, physical, mental, emotional rest. We need it. I told you've heard me say this, and I told Pastor Pomba, I said busyness means being under Satan's yoke, and we get so busy, we allow so many things that are meaningless in the scheme of all of our life to dictate our everyday actions. And God wants us to find a place of rest. Now, I'm going to go on the opposite side of that this morning and talk about the necessity of service. All right? And when you think about Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Isn't that amazing? Everything you do. Wait a minute, Pastor. Do you know where I work? Everything you do it as unto the Lord. Amen. Pastor, do you know my boss? Do you know where I work? Do you know what I deal with? Do it unto the Lord. The only one that can change your circumstances is God. Amen. The only one that can direct your steps is God. You can veer off on your own plan, and you can take of the yoke of your own decisions, the yoke of the enemy. You can choose to do that, but the only one that gives life and hope, no matter your circumstances, no matter the weight of the world that is placed on you, no matter the struggles and frustrations that you find in your present circumstances, if you are honoring the Lord in that, God will give you peace. God will give you direction. He will find a place within the environment that you are in, and He will give you rest for your weariness, and He will give you wholeness for your brokenness. God is faithful to those who are willing to surrender to Him and walk in His truth and in His path. Do it unto the Lord. When you think about this as a directive, this as a discipline, I mean, the discipline of service is literally a direct assault against pride. It really, and I'm going to be brief, okay? Is that good? Y'all okay? Y'all good with that? Because I don't want to take away from really the moments to honor the Stotts, and so I want to be brief because, listen, these guys are amazing. They really are a type and shadow, if you will, of what this message is all about. Yeah. I couldn't see a more fitting day to really honor you guys than on the day that we focus on the discipline of service, because you guys have been disciplined to serve. And I honor you and I appreciate you guys. But you know, when I think about it, it is It is a direct assault on our pride. Service requires humility. It requires us to look inwardly and look at the motive of why we do what we do. One of the greatest moments of this trip for me was standing on the side of the street talking to about three different young people standing together and them beginning to ask me some deep theological questions, and it just engaged me, and I was so excited to hear these young people talking about what is the motive of ministry. I'm like, whoa. Teenagers talking in depth on why do we serve God? Why should we serve God? And seeing the hypocrisy of those around them who have ulterior motives in why they work for others, only to see themselves being one step of the ladder to the next, stepping on those that are below them to get to a place of status. And they ask the question, what is the true motive of ministry? Service. The love of God. The love for the people of God, the love for that God has for a broken world, that He was willing to die on the cross to humble Himself. Though He left the throne room of God. It says it this way, though He had equality with God, He didn't think it something to be grasped. You know, we live in a society, in a world, and it's not just in this time frame of our world, but throughout history, it has been the same, that there is a desire to step on the next person that's in front of you to get to the highest places so that you can have this type of honor. And yet, the Lord Jesus reversed that idea. He became flesh. He left the throne room of heaven. He became flesh. Was willing to become sin for you and I, was willing to even die, become a servant, the lowest of society, to become the sin for us, to be willing to die on a cross, to die a death, and then the death of the cross so that we can have life more abundantly. It doesn't make sense in the idea of what mankind has for its motives of doing good. Sometimes we do good just to get attention. Yeah. Did they not see me? Let me do this right here. Take a picture so I can... Right? They didn't even tell me thank you. They didn't appreciate me. Because we've made service about us. We've made coming to church about us, our comfort, our filling, our fatness. Right? We want to feast. But yet, the Lord wants us to feast so that we can serve. The Lord wants us to sit at the table with Him. He wants us to glean from His presence. He wants us to be around Him. He wants us to enjoy being in His presence and growing in grace, but at the same time, it has a purpose, and that purpose is to win the lost. That purpose is to make disciples. That purpose is to serve one another. That purpose is to grow in unity. That purpose is to grow together. That purpose is to die to self. He said, take up your cross and follow me. It means I've got to deny myself. It means I've got to put aside my wants. I've got to put aside all of my pamperings of how I feel like the church should give to me. And yet I have come not to be given to. I have come to serve, because Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life a ransom. I came to give it all. I came to let you know that I love you more than you think you love me. Jesus gave us the greatest example. He gave us the greatest words and teaching. He showed us a path. of what it means to live this life out. We want to look at the benefits that we get from what he did for us. We enjoy the fact that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice for us. We enjoy the fact that he was hung on a cross, that we don't have to follow the penalties and punishment of sin any longer because of what Jesus done. We enjoy the fact that it was by his stripes that we have been made whole. We enjoy the fact that we are free from the bondage of sin and death. We are free. We enjoy those things. But Jesus did those things so that we can become followers of him. He did those things because he wants us to become a part of his kingdom plan. Listen, it's easier to admire Jesus than to follow Jesus. It's easier for us to admire Jesus than to follow Jesus. It's easier for us to lift our hands and sing about Jesus than to serve like Jesus. It's easier for us to sit around a table and learn about Jesus than to live like Jesus. It takes us to a place where pride has to go. It takes us to a place where ego has to step aside, where all of that has to die. Look, the reality is that we... Jesus, now. You sure, Lord? Okay. It takes us to a place where too many people are serving a Christ who died on the cross, a crucified Savior with an uncrucified ego. And God is saying, deny yourself. Follow me. Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. Follow me. Follow me into brokenness. Follow me into places where people are broken and hurting. And you'll see pain, you'll see hurt, but you'll also see my hands extended through you. And God, in that moment, can use you because you've let go of what you think this world is all about. You've let go of religiosity. You've let go of being religious. You've let go of being offended. You've let go of, look, when I drive the bus on Monday nights, those people don't know that I'm the pastor. And I just go in there, I'm just like one of them. I step up in that bus, what's up, dude? How you doing? And they get in the back and they're talking about their day. It's not pretty. What they say all the time. Then we get in here, I introduce myself. Hey, I'm Paul Dyer. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I've been set free from drugs and alcohol, from pornography. I've been set free from a whole lot of things in life. What do I struggle with? I'm still struggling with pride. I'm still struggling with sometimes being a little bit arrogant. I'm still struggling with religiosity. And I need Jesus every single day to live this life. How do you break it? How do you break it? Jesus showed them how to break it. I told you I'm gonna be quick. I got a whole lot of notes. I got like 12 pages, but you know, Jesus showed them how to break it. In John chapter 13, Jesus, literally about to be crucified, about to be taken, Jesus invited all of his disciples in. And in that moment, they were there sitting around the table. They weren't being considerate. They wasn't really caring for each other. There was no servant there that was setting the table for them. There was no servant there that day as they came in, and the first thing that would happen when you would come into someone's house is the servant would come and wash your feet. You go into a home in Kenya, and the first thing you do is you pop your shoes off before you go inside because it's all dusty. But in those days, they would sit down and the servant would wash their feet before they would come into the house. There was nobody there to do that. There was no one there at that moment to make sure that they were cared for. You think that one of the disciples would have at least offered to do that for the master. You think that for a moment that somebody would at least acknowledge the fact that there's no servant here, so somebody's got to do this. But Jesus, being the King of glory and the King of kings, humbled himself, took off his outer garment, the garment that would probably be indignant. If you remember David took his outer garment off, and the people, his wife was upset because he was being indignant in the crowd with his outer garment off. And here's Jesus taking off his outer garment. And the Bible says that he wrapped a towel around his waist, a servant's towel he wrapped around his waist. And he began to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus was showing them the way to defeat pride. He was showing them the way to break the mentality of I'm better than you. I mean, this is the same disciples that just a little before were arguing of, well, Lord, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee, were asking the Lord, hey, Lord, do you think that we could sit on your right side and your left side? These are the same disciples that were looking for honor. They were still in the mentality of the culture of their world. They were still in the mentality of, hey, I'm doing this because I want to sit at your right side and your left side. And then the other 10 heard about what they were saying, and the Bible says that they were indignant. I don't believe they were indignant because they were asking to be on the right side and left side. I believe they were indignant because they didn't think of it first. I believe they were jealous of the fact that, wait, what? They just asked, can they be on the right? I want to be. I've been here the longest. He called me first. I'm the one that left my stuff, my nets and boats. I'm the one that left. Well, I should be on the right side. Once again, too many times we make it about us. How many times do we, before we go into what we're doing, we talk about what we've left behind? Before we step into a servant role, we have to let people know, well, you know, I left, I did this and I did that and I left this behind and look what I've done. Look how big the sacrifice I've made for the kingdom. Jesus, he wrapped that towel around his waist. He knelt down and began to wash his disciples' feet. There was one that was a little upset by this because he was thinking, wait a minute, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. And Jesus told him, he said, look, if I don't wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. Here's what service does. Service not only breaks our humility, but it identifies us with Christ. We not only do we have to allow Christ to serve us, but we also have to serve him, and we serve others because of what he's done. And so we love on each other. We care for and compassionate for others. We do for others, not so we can get a pat on the back, because of he's already done it for us. He's made a way. Can you imagine if the body of Christ began to treat each other like Jesus treats the body? Can you imagine if we begin to operate in such a way that we are so humbled in the ability that we get to help somebody else? Man, wouldn't that change things? Wouldn't that shift how we operate? You know, the needs of our church would be diminished. Right? And then the world would not be looking for governmental support and help. The church would be operating in how the church operates. The church would be full because they recognize the body is doing what the body is supposed to do. You know, why does the world not like the church anymore? Because the church is no longer doing what the church was called to do. There's a book out that says, they love Jesus but hate the church. What is that? Because we've made the church about religious rules and following these, and we get more offended about little things, and we try to put the yoke of the world, the yoke of religiosity on people, and they can't live that yoke of religiosity. And Jesus said, come unto me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that rest is to refresh you so that you can become a part of his kingdom plan, serving one another, helping one another. And when we all come together doing our part, it becomes a blessing to all. Boy. Amen. Jody, I'm so thankful that you met this precious jewel beside you. You know, before Jody met this precious jewel, he was broken by the church. He didn't want to have anything to do with the church. He had seen the ugliness of religion. And this precious jewel began sharing with him and showing him what that love looked like. And then bringing him to a place where we begin to love on him. And we begin to compassionately care for him. And he's like, man, these people are pretty cool. And Jody, we're still loving you.
Thank you.
And we're in this fight together with you. We're journeying with you because you're family. And we got you back. We're on your team. Amen. My encouragement, and I'm closing, and I'm going to bring the stats up here. My encouragement to you is this. Find a place to serve. Yeah. Find a place to connect. Find a place to get involved. I mean, look, I'm so thankful to be a part of Alcoa Maryville Church of God. I mean, we have Parents Day Out program. We have Homeschool Co-op. We have Manna Outreach Ministries. We have God's Closet. We have Celebrate Recovery. I mean, the list just keeps going of what places where people can jump in and serve and love on people and care for people, because that's who we are. I mean, places to serve. Think about places to serve. Protect people's life. We protect people. If you do something that is hurtful and wrong, you know, I had somebody say the other day, I went to court with someone. And somebody said, have you ever been in the court before? I said, more than you know. Have I been there because I did something wrong? No. I went there because a fellow brother or sister in Christ had found themselves in a position of failure and needed someone to be there to love them through the failure that they had gone through. Did I get to speak? No. But man, if I could hold their hand or put my hand on their shoulder and pat them on the back and say, hey, I love you. And I'm with you even though you have messed up, even though you made a mistake, I'm still here beside you because I know that that's not who you are. I know that the Savior in you is more than the actions that you take on a moment of weakness of your life. And I'm with you on this. And I'm caring for you. That's who we are. Look, we can shout, we can jump, we can swing on the chandeliers, we can walk the tops of the pews, but tomorrow, what's going to get you through the horribleness of life that you'll face? It won't be your emotional highs. It will be your depth of relationship with the King. It will be, are you willing to step up to the plate and love one another and serve one another? Because it is in the service that it breaks the pride. It breaks the religiosity, and it opens the door for greater care in the body. Amen. Miranda, I love you. I'm thankful that you're here. You are special. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Yes. You've been called by God to bring glory to His kingdom. And I'm thankful you're here. You're not the sum of the actions that have been done in the past. You are who God's created you to be. And you'll probably kill me after service for pointing you out. But you are special to God. You are amazing. Not even because those two cool people beside you. Because you are God's creation, the workmanship of His hands. And He loves you. And this body right here, loves you. And we're thankful that you're here. Mama, he's going to translate for me. I know that you, do you understand English?
No.
A little bit? All right, come over here, Sarah. I know that you have fought for your kids. That you love them. And you've done everything to make sure that they become the men that God has created them to be. It's not been easy. It's been a fight. But you're a part of a family that stretches over oceans and seas. God has you here for purpose these few months to love on you like we love these guys. God bless you. Gary and Pam, come here. These guys have literally sacrificed, at times, health. They've sacrificed wealth. They've sacrificed time with family and kids. They have displayed a servanthood attitude, and I've never, ever, ever heard them complain one time. And you guys are amazing. If someone was to ask me, who do you want to be like in life, I'd say, I want to be like Gary Stein. When I grow up. I'm not good with writing, and I'm going to read this to you because I wrote it in tongues. As your pastor, and we as your church, are super thankful for you both. You have offered up to us an exemplary service. You have shown us what true ministry looks like and have done so without complaint. Your humility and heart for people have been infectious, and I pray that we will continue to build on the great work that you all have done. I love you, and with great appreciation for you, Pastor Paul. Thank you guys for all that you've done. And I know that, I know, Gary, that you think that I have strategically put your daughter into that role so that I could wrangle you two in. But my heart was, I wanted your DNA to be in that ministry. Because I don't know who else could have the same passion heart at this moment to lead that. And it wasn't to keep you connected, but that's just a benefit. But you guys are amazing, and I love you so much. This church appreciates you. I don't know who wants to share.
She's the speaker of the group.
He always passes the buck to me. He doesn't like public speaking. I don't either, but, you know, sometimes God puts you in those situations. It has been a joy to serve at Manna. I want to tell you, I personally have been working at Manna for about 20 years. I started with my children because I wanted them to see what ministry was like. And it's a great opportunity over there. And since we homeschooled, it was a wonderful opportunity. I could take my kids and we could minister to the community. And we just did it once a month. And then it got a little bit more, you know, over the years. And we continue. My husband retired from his job in 2015. And he came and joined me, and that was such a blessing to me to have him beside me, you know, helping me, and just and getting to feel that joy that I feel, you know, to serve in the community, because it has been quite a joy. But I want to admit something, and it kind of goes along with Pastor's sermon today, but, you know, it's a joy to serve, and I hope that y'all will take those opportunities when they come to be able to serve too. My husband had a desire to quit doing Manna when he turned 70.
You got about five more years,
right? He's kind of trying to retire, right, from work, but I didn't want to let go. You know, I've been doing that Manna for so many years, and I didn't want to let go. And he turned 70 last summer. And you know what? He just laid it down because he knew that I didn't want to give it up. And, you know, he did. He said, well, she's going to be there. I guess I'll be there. And he's such a trooper, you know. He's just such a trooper. But this is what I want to share with you. Service is awesome. But, you know, that summer, I was just like, yeah, he's not going to give it up. He's 70, he's not going to give it up. And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said that I was being selfish. Now, you wouldn't think that service would be being selfish, right? Because you're giving. But I was being selfish because I wasn't willing to lay it down for my husband so that he could enjoy his retirement. So after he spoke to me that, I realized that I needed to lay it down. And that's when we went to Pastor and said, it's time. We have to lay it down. Because it's time for God to raise somebody else up to do that. But there is joy in the service. And I just want to thank you guys for allowing us to do that for all these years too.
Anything? If you don't want to be asked. There's a little something in there of our appreciation to you guys, and maybe it'll let you take a little vacation with this angel that you have beside you.
Better suitcase in the car.
There you go. They literally have their suitcases in the car. If you will, and I know we're not going to spend all afternoon over at the Manna Outreach Building, but if you will, want to pray with them. There's a money tree over there. If you'd like to bless them with a gift, maybe you've thought in advance and brought a card, you can lay that there. But at least come over. Man, if you've never been in that building, it will blow you away at the organization, the structure, the bigness of what they have been able to accomplish. And they've, in their 8 years, they have created a ministry that is the biggest, listen to this, the biggest food pantry in all of Blount County. We feed, through Manna Outreach Ministry, over 600 families every single month. Isn't that amazing? And I just want, if you will, we're going to pray with them. And after we dismissed, go over to Manna. Just step over there. Even if you're only able to stay 15, 20 minutes, go over, spend a few moments, look at what all that God has done through this couple to reach this community in the name of Alcoa Maryville Church of God. What a blessing. Would you stretch your hands this way? Can we pray for them? Father, we are so blessed. We're blessed for the servitude of this wonderful couple and their family. We're thankful, God, for the grace that you have given them. And Lord, for the example they have set for so many people, the connections they've made with churches throughout this community who send laborers. And some of the local churches even send finances to help purchase food because of the faithfulness of this couple and the call of God that they have fulfilled. And I pray, Lord, that as they transition into a new era of their life, God, that you will pour out your favor and blessings on them, God. That they will find rest and peace in you, Lord. And I know that this is not the end of the journey with Manna, but God, I pray that you'll send laborers in to step in and work under and care for. Help Hannah complete this goal, complete this vision. Lord, as we endeavor to create the 501c3 to be able to do even more things through this ministry to this community because of the hand of God on it. God, I pray you'll bless them and encourage them. Lord, continue to watch over their children and bless their children to see their daughter Stephanie and how she's working in the Pregnancy Resource Center because she has the same heart they have. To see Hannah stepping into Manna Outreach because she has the same heart. To see their children serving the Lord wherever they are. God, you have raised this family up. You have blessed them because they have been willing to humble themselves before you and to serve you. Let your favor be on them. Let your face shine on them. And Lord, wherever they go, let them continue to see the blessings of God. Lord, we love you, we honor you, we thank you for this couple, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Can we give them one big hand, one more big hand? Come on. Remember, next door, it's across the parking lot. It's not far. You can make it. Walk over. Spend 10, 15 minutes, spend an hour, but go and spend some time letting these folks know how much you love them, okay? God bless you guys.